Weekends on the Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Stop. Drop. Shut them down. Open up shop.
And a good Sunday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas along the great Jamie Lynch. Jamie, I hope you're enjoying your weekend, even though today's weather looks like it's going to suck all day.
Yes, I am enjoying my weekend very much. But yeah, this weather is absolutely brutal right now. But it's pouring. I think it's supposed to stop by like 2 or 3.
Well, here's the beauty of it.
So I was hoping here's to the take the TV outside on the porch.
Well, all right, listen. I get it. But I'm looking at Augusta, Georgia. It's weather sunny all day.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be torture.
Yeah, but no, today's also a perfect day to just sit your ass on the couch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's raining. You can't go anywhere.
And you look at a sunny place.
Well, I don't even care
about
the sunny place.
Headphones are all jacked up.
I'm saying you're sitting on your couch watching golf all day.
Yeah, but it's nice to look at a sunny place when it's...
That does something for you?
I don't know.
That does absolutely nothing for me. I know that if I turn around, I'm miserable because it's cloudy and rainy.
Really? That does something for you?
I don't know. Yeah, I learn something new about you every day. So what you're saying is, like, in the middle of winter, when you're sad, you just, like, print out a photo of, like, Jamaica?
Yeah, I set my wallpaper. The Sandals Resort in Jamaica.
Like, weirdo. Oh, man.
I can't believe it.
Are you all right?
No. I'm getting one ear, and it's driving me nuts.
You've been here for how long?
So the headphone's jacked up. I got to email engineering.
Well, that'll take about 2 months. So welcome in. Junis and the Bro Show. Take you till 12 o'clock here on The Fanatic. We had two teams in action yesterday. We had the Sixers and we had the Phillies. One team won, one team did not. Actually, three teams in action. My apologies.
Yes, how dare you?
Well, it was an earlier game. Flyers got the W yesterday. They're still alive.
I guess.
Mathematically.
The toe tag is not officially out.
I mean, what do you think? Like, I mean, I'll be honest. I thought they were dead a few days ago, but I didn't want to say it on the air. And then I heard Mikey miss, and Mike played taps and everything.
Oh, wow. And then John said he was waiting till Monday to bring out the toe tag.
And then
Mikey already busted out taps.
Yeah, he did. And then the next day, I reacted to it, and I was like, there's no way. And then Connor, because that was the day that Anthony lost his keys, Connor had us stick around for a little bit, and he was like, yeah, dude, they're dead. And now all of a sudden, they're just 4 points back.
I haven't broke down the Flyers' schedule yet.
Oh, it's tough. They got a lot of tough matchups the rest of the way. But I don't know. I don't want to pronounce a team dead. Even if they do get to the playoffs and they lose right away, I don't want to pronounce a team dead when they're only 4 points back. It's not like they're the Sabres who are 24 back at the Bruins.
God, thank God they're not the Sabres.
I know. But as ugly as it's been for the Flyers this season, and it's been terrible, we act like they're in the last seed.
No, I know. But
we talk about them being the worst team in the NHL.
But their defense is some of the worst defense I've seen ever.
It's terrible.
So it's like kind of amazing. You're like, well, how are they hanging around when I've been looking at what I know
that's
is slop for 2 months now?
Yeah, their goal differential is minus 24 right now.
Oof.
And the Bruins who are above them are plus 12. The Rangers who are below them are plus 22.
Jeez.
Think about that for a second.
Yikes.
Well, it's because they've lost games 6-1, 9-2.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
You don't think they're making the playoffs?
I mean, even if they do.
It sounds like you're ready to pronounce them dead.
I don't want to pronounce them dead because that's not really who I am or what I enjoy doing.
Yeah,
but,
I know. You want to enjoy a ride.
But, you know, hopefully they can catch lightning in a bottle or something. But it's pretty much
over. Well, shout out to the Flyers getting the W yesterday against a team they couldn't beat really all year with the Bruins.
So yeah.
Flyers get the win yesterday. Sixers win last night. Phillies lose. And there's two things that I want to stem off of here with the Sixers and the Phillies. The Sixers, all season long, have been basically the top seed in the Eastern Conference. And they win yesterday. Brooklyn gets blown out by a Lakers team that has, like, you and I playing.
Dennis Schroeder and Kyrie getting into each other's face and getting ejected. Thank you, Dennis.
But the Nets getting blown out yesterday. So with the Sixers win, the Nets lose. They're back to being tied for the first seed in the Eastern Conference. And they've been first, really, the entire year, right?
Like, more or less.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, when they do, at the end of the season, they'll do how many days they were in first place.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably have the longest stretch
in
the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty cool.
But, Jamie, have you heard glowing talk about the Sixers for the most part this season? Or have you heard complaints? Have you heard fear? Have you heard, you know, any sort of more so negative talk than positive talk all season long?
Yeah, probably. But like, I don't want to say
65%.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be a little closer to 50, but yeah, 60-40 is probably
okay,
about right.
Even 50 is kind of nuts, considering they've been the top seed all season long.
Sports fans, a lot of sports fans, I should say, have this weird perception that everything should be perfect. Like, I just want more than anything in my lifetime to see a Philadelphia dynasty.
Yeah, that'd
like what nice. The Golden State just did, or what the Patriots did, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. But people like expect perfection sometimes.
Yeah,
and it's really hard to win championships. And I'm not trying to sound like, you know, Johnny Sunshine up your ass over here.
Yeah, but we're not even in the playoffs yet.
Exactly.
Right?
Like let's see. And you're the number one seed. And you're defensively one of the best teams in the league.
Yep.
And you have an MVP candidate. And you have some pieces around them. You have a coach with a resume. So it's like, all right, well, I'm just trying to enjoy the ride here, man. I know they're not perfect. Ben Simmons, yeah, he aggravates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But
people were pumped with his performance yesterday in the first half when I think he had 12 points. He finished with 13.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Thunder.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, but it was also just the Grizzlies in a game that they lost and he had 7 points.
Yeah. We talked about it this week, kind of. I don't think there's been an athlete that I like/love more. That frustrates me more ever in my years of fandom.
You're probably right about that.
I don't think it's really even close. Carson Wentz this past year was pretty frustrating, maybe.
But he was just bad this year. Like Ben still has the good aspects of his game.
He's kind of plateauing.
Yeah.
So, like, this might be what he is, which is not to say he's a bad player.
Right.
It's just not going to meet the expectations we all had.
Number one overall seed, having a documentary before even playing a damn game in the NBA. Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy to think about all that kind of stuff.
Because you're just like, oh, dude, it's so easy that it'll come. Like,
yeah, exactly.
All right, this is year, what, four for him or five? Yeah, four, right? Playing because he missed one, so it's his fifth year.
I don't count that.
Yeah, so it's like,
he should have learned on the bench. No, he's not going to learn on the bench.
Yeah, like you thought it was going to come by now?
Right.
Kind of like those years 3 through 5 or like your really big step years as an NBA player. And his seems to have plateaued a little bit.
Yeah, but here's my thing. And I brought this up to you a while ago. We might have still been on Saturdays for all I know. And I asked you, what if he was a 14-10-10 guy with stellar defense come playoff time? I know you want more. I know we want more. I'm not saying, oh, I'm okay with that. No, but if he's 14-10-10 stellar defense.
I mean,
defense,
it's pretty stellar.
But Embiid's giving you his 30-plus.
Yeah.
Tobias is giving you 25.
Well, that's the key there. If you're giving me 14-10-10.
You need more from Tobias.
I need 24-25-9 from Tobias.
Right.
So, like, if I can get that trade-off, I'm good. But Tobias still has some questions to answer.
Like, yes, he does.
He disappeared
in the playoffs.
In the bubble last year. He was flat out bad. He'll tell you that. I mean, he saw the Sixers Twitter coming after him. You know, he needs to be a better scorer, a more consistent scorer if Ben is going to be what Ben is.
Right.
And I don't have that answer.
Well, so right away, the Goose checks in.
What do you say, Goose?
Litty Beans on Twitter, but the
Litty
Goose
Beans
calls in. He stinks. Stop sugarcoating. Like right off the bat, it's stop sugarcoating. Ben Simmons, he stinks. And I know he's not alone when it comes to feeling that.
Well, I had a conversation yesterday at golf. You know, we were just kind of sitting around. We did an outing. It was like half New Yorkers, half Philadelphia guys. And we were having a beer after the round. And they were, you know, we were talking about the NBA. And one Philly guy, my buddy Drew, was just like, yeah, they're not going to win anything like this. Just
straight up.
Just like throw it on the, like New York guys were like, so what's the deal with Sixers? How they looking? And just right out, like, he didn't say much. He didn't elaborate much. He just went, yeah, they're not winning anything like that. And I respect Drew's opinion. And it kind of like
took you back a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of like a jab. And I was like, ah.
Well, because I can't blame him for thinking that.
No, not at all.
I hate speaking in certainty.
Yeah,
right? They're never going to win. Well, what if they figure out come playoff time exactly the defensive line alignment against every team? You believe in the head coach this year, Doc Rivers, and not Brett Brown, who you think is the greatest coach of all time. But we'll talk about
no,
that.
No. Doc has his own questions answered. I read Clippers Twitter after the playoffs last year.
Oh yeah, he's the only coach in NBA history to blow multiple 3-1 leads.
Three, I believe.
Multiple and he's done it three times.
Yes.
Right? No other coach has done it.
Yeah, he's got his own questions to answer.
Yeah, he does. And we'll find out come playoff time. And
basically, the Sixers are a giant question mark.
Right.
And I hate to say that.
And I think that's the biggest thing, Jamie. When I ask you, isn't it crazy that we've heard really more negative talk about the Sixers throughout the entire season than positive when they've been the top seed for the most part of the season? But I think that's what it is. It's playoffs.
Yeah.
It's question marks comes playoffs because you know that you can wall off Ben Simmons. You know that in the past, Tobias Harris has disappeared in the playoffs, and we can't just say, oh, well, no, this is the year that he'll... It's like the Velasquez thing. Oh, this is the year. It's like, no, I have to actually see it before it happening, right? So maybe Tobias is a different Tobias Harris this year. He clearly is during the regular season, but what happens come playoff time?
Sure. And then he needs to be a 25-a-game guy.
And then is your eight guys that you're going to have in the rotation, or nine, or whatever it is...
It'll probably end up being nine.
Is that deep enough? And Bede, obviously...
Well, what the hell is George Hill's status?
Well, that's the thing. So he spoke earlier this week, and he chuckled, which I know a lot of people didn't like, because they're like, whoa, no laughing.
Not funny.
But he said he will be ready for the playoffs. He doesn't know when he'll be ready for the regular season. He thinks he will be back in the regular season. And Anthony brought this up. He said, oh,
like, I really want to see him in the mix to see what they're working with.
So Anthony says, well, George Hill's irrelevant. And I go,
no,
he's not.
He's a huge role in this
team. He's a part of the playoff rotation. And it's one thing watching tape. It's another thing playing and knowing, all right, Tobias Harris likes going here. Let me get out of his way. Furkan Korkmaz on the break prefers shooting from this location because I played with him. I know all these things, right? Like, that's pretty big.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing that comes with George Hill is Shake Milton sliding over to the two.
Big time.
And he needs to get his feet under him there as well. I think it's a better position for Shake. It might allow him to be a little more aggressive, which I think they need. Shake is a huge role on this team.
Yes.
He's your instant offense off the bench, and they need that, especially when you're going up against potentially a Brooklyn second unit that isn't nearly as good.
Right.
Milwaukee and Miami are both deep, mm-hmm. but, you know, Brooklyn's Achilles heel is their second unit. So a guy like Shake, you know, has to get comfortable with George Hill as well. And the two of them, I like the George Hill move a lot. I want to see him play so I know what this second unit really is. Because it's a brand new second unit with a new point guard that can shoot. George Hill can shoot. You know, he's not Seth Curry, but he's a 38% career 3-point shooter. He's a catch it. Like, if he's open, he'll knock him down. And he's got playoff experience, which is what that second unit needs. So I really hope he's back here in the next, maybe after this end of this road trip, maybe there's a shot.
Yeah.
But I'd really like to see him in to see what we have on that second unit.
Yeah, especially like you said, second unit, but also mixing it in with Ben at times. Cause I know we don't want to take the ball out of Ben's hands, but sometimes you need a secondary ball handler.
Yeah.
Simmons. And it'll be interesting to see what George Hill's role is.
Yeah, Seth is, he started really strong this year.
Yeah, COVID.
And he's fine. And then he got knocked
up a little bit.
Even now, he's, you know, okay.
I also don't think he's, I want him to be more of a 3-point shooter. I know he can do a little bit more. I know he can drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying Danny Green's spot up, but.
No. But
work some things off the ball for him.
I wouldn't mind
like more of a traditional guard
mm-hmm.
as the secondary ball handler,
yeah.
like George Hill. I don't know. So I want to ask you guys today, 610-632-0975, and I see Nick on the line now. What is it with the Sixers that brings out mainly negative talk for you? Because I try to just enjoy the ride, but I know I still sometimes, the game against Memphis, I was miserable.
Oh, Friday night was torture.
Yeah, like I can't help but still.
That game was awful.
Yeah. Yeah, the Friday night's game. I was talking about the last week, but yeah, Friday night's game.
Well, yeah, there's been a couple in the last 2 weeks.
That team, and I saw some stat tweeted out, which is ridiculous. Like, Ben Simmons in the last week has more turnovers than made field goals.
Yeah, I saw something similar.
And it's like, oh, God. So, the Ben Simmons stuff.
He's got some family stuff going on.
Yeah, I know, which is awful.
It's just terrible that they have to go through that in the public eye, but it's
awful.
You know, he's a human being. That stuff affects you.
No, you're right.
So I thought, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was like, is he hurt or something?
Right.
Like,
and then you find out what's going on.
And then you find out that's going on. You're like, all right, I guess, you know, the mind wanders during times like that. So,
yeah.
Okay.
But then the question is, come game time, is, like, you know, does Do you refocus? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty big thing that he's
huge.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's his sister,
know.
And he's very close with her.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to start bashing Ben.
No, not at all. I'm not even touching that subject.
Exactly.
Just acknowledging that it is going on in his life. And if you're unaware of what we're talking about, you can check out Ben's sister's Twitter account, and
it's terrible.
She gives you a breakdown of everything, and whether we're just going to let it be, and best of luck to them working it out.
I hope everything works out, and not just for basketball.
Yes, Ben, for their family.
Personally.
Yes,
exactly. But that's the first question today. What is it that sort of drives the majority of the negativity when it comes to the Sixers? Top seed in the Eastern Conference, have been the top seed in the Eastern Conference for the majority of the NBA season, have beaten pretty good teams, have lost to some bad teams. I get it. That's sports. But the Sixers have, for the most part, been the top seed in the Eastern Conference, and it still seems like, for the most part, there's angst or this team's not going to win anything. Like your buddy at golf yesterday straight up says, yeah, they're not winning. And it's like...
Well, and he's not like...
It's not like they're the sixth seed like they were last year.
I know, but it's been with him.
Is that what it is?
Not an irrational sports player. Like, he was a pretty big-time D1 college football player. Like, he understands the mindset of athletes.
Right.
And he was it was a very calm, they're not winning anything like this.
All
and
right.
I was like, oh, okay.
Well,
I wish I could refute you, but...
Exactly. It's kind of...
But there's a lot of question marks with this team.
You can't call him dumb.
No.
You know what I mean? You go, well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Brooklyn's good.
You know,
Milwaukee's good.
Can
you beat those teams?
Question mark. Come playoff time.
Sure.
Korkmaz disappears. Come playoff time. We've seen it with Tobias, Ben Simmons, Ben Wall.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the only guy that showed up last year was Embiid.
But Ben has had good playoff series, like the one against Miami.
Yeah, round one.
I know.
And
but
then round two, he disappeared.
But if he can give you, that's the thing with him. It's just, why can't it ever be consistent?
I don't know. Like yesterday, first half, yes.
This is the Ben I love.
This is who I love. And then, you're right. It was the Thunder. They were winning big.
So, yeah.
And he knows that.
But it's like in the playoffs, you go great in one series, and then the next series, they clamp down on you,
right.
And it's toast.
Yeah,
and it's like, what the hell? He's wildly inconsistent.
And the coaches are figuring out how to D him up. They are. Now, it's different. Now that you have the spacing, obviously he's been a better facilitator this year because he's had Seth Curry to pass to. He's had Danny Green
to pass
through.
And look, I do think he missed playing with Ben, Joel.
100%, yeah.
So
But I'll say this, because I remember last year I had the dark fear in the back of my mind that Simmons and Embiid will never be able to play together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you hear that take all the time. That wasn't my opinion. I just sort of had this dark fear. So I was literally like, what was his name? Charlie? And Always Sunny when he's in the mailroom.
Why am I brain farting?
Pepe doesn't even work here. We don't have an HR department. So I'm doing the Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid breakdown statistically of when they're not
Pepe
playing.
Sylvia.
Yes. I'm doing the breakdowns Simmons without Embiid, Embiid without Simmons, and then when they're together. And Simmons without Embiid, his numbers were like 6 points higher per game.
Yeah.
Rebounds and assists were higher. So I can't go, I think he really missed Embiid the last week.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it in the past, his game elevate when Embiid's not on the court. And I don't think it's because of a Ben v. Joe thing. I think it's more so he knew that he had to step up and let me take over here. And, there's the spacing's a little bit better. But all of a sudden last week, he had a lot of, he didn't look good.
No. No, he hasn't looked good, for the past month. He's averaging 12 points a game, basically. That's not good enough. I mean, I'm not even counting on you as the second scoring option on this team, but you need to be the third. You got to be. Like, I know Doc Rivers says, Danny Green's going to give you what he gives you, and Seth is inconsistent, and he'll give you some hot nights and some cold ones, but you're the max player, man. Like, you got to be the third offensive option on this team. I understand you're a point guard. I understand you lead the league in 3-point assists. I understand what you bring to the court, but we still want more.
Right. So Jeff tweets in. He took 3 jump shots yesterday, and we're ripping him. If you watch the game, he didn't need to score in the second half. The game was over. We already put that out there, that we knew that they were running away with it against the Thunder. My thing is,
I don't even care about jump shots.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm saying forget the Thunder. How many times this season have you seen Ben Simmons 6 points in the first quarter, right? Three field goal attempts, and then won the rest of the game. How many times have we seen that this year? We've seen it. Ben Simmons, they love to get him hot early, but then he disappears the rest of the game offensively. So forget that it was the Thunder yesterday, and yes, they were winning big, and he didn't need to play offense in the second half. But I've seen it in games where they weren't running away with it, and he still disappears.
Yeah.
It's happened multiple times this year where his field goal attempts in the first quarter is double than what he takes the rest of the game combined.
Yeah, I mean, it appears to be all a mindset thing with him. You know, Devon always says that the best Ben is an aggressive Ben.
Yeah.
And you don't see that aggressive Ben a lot. And when you see a guy that can physically get to a rim, he can get to his spots on the court.
Yes.
Unlike very few in the NBA.
Yeah.
Why?
Which is why you and I both think he's a good basketball player.
Oh, yes, very good.
We don't think he stinks.
I don't even care about the jump shot thing.
Yeah.
I just want him to improve his... If Zion Williamson, and look, I'm not comparing them physical-wise. If Zion Williamson can shoot 63% on his two-point shots, Ben Simmons should be able to get close to that.
Yeah, not 48 or whatever the numbers were that Ben...
You're shooting all your shots from within 5 feet of the rim.
Yeah.
Like, just become a better scorer around the rim... Get to the line a little bit more, and your free throw shooting is improving. But
here's the sad thing.
God, it's just it seems so easy.
As much as I like Ben.
Stop being so awkward on layups.
As much as I like Ben, we've been saying the same thing for 4 years now.
I know. And that's why I'm saying I think our expectations, I'm coming to terms with them never being met. Which isn't Ben slander.
Now,
he's still
very good.
If this is what he is, he's a very good player.
Yes. But he's not the elite number one overall pick.
No, he'll never be a probably top 10 player
in the
league.
He's not LeBron Jr.
No. And maybe that's okay.
Maybe you'll win.
Yeah. And look, Joel Embiid is the MVP.
You're winning.
You need an MVP candidate to win in the NBA.
And that's Embiid.
So I just need him to consistently be that third scoring option on this team.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And I don't know if we're ever going to get it.
That's a good question. 610-632-0975. So what's leading the angst for you with the Sixers? Because it seems like all season long, it's been angst no matter where they've been in the Eastern Conference. I have a Phillies question. As they lost to the Braves yesterday, they now lost the series. Their game three is today against the Braves at 7 o'clock. But I have a Phillies question for you regarding the honeymoon phase. Nick, you hang tight. We'll get to you on the other side. 610-632-0975. This weekend's programming brought to you by Wawa. Breakfast is sizzling at Wawa with 2 for $4 Sizzlies.
Ooh.
Grab any two Wawa Sizzlies for $4 and enjoy delicious breakfast on the go. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
Weekends on The Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's do a little weekend news dump here, Jamie.
I'm assuming, young Salchunas, you still have some buddies out there that are single, right?
Yeah.
Most of my friends are washed and married now, so none of this really applies to you.
Yes.
But if you are a single gentleman or lady out there, get ready for the whoring 20s.
What?
A lot of experts, and if you go back through history and research pandemics... At the end of pandemics...
Wait, we got research on this?
Oh, well, yeah, historically. Usually after a pandemic, like back in... what was it in France? They had some pandemic where they used to basically empty their toilets in the streets and then they realized... And it would just, like, run down to the sewer. And they realized that was very, like, unhealthy and they, you know, plumbing basically started. So there's always an improvement of life after a pandemic.
Okay.
In this, and there's usually a party to cap
off. What's this one?
I think general cleanliness, people will, and I think there's people are going to be more conscious about other
Good
people's
luck.
Space.
It's
whatever.
Political. Good luck.
Yes.
I was at an establishment the other day where the guy, you know, urinal, space, me, urinal.
He came to the middle one?
We both, no. We finished at the same time. He walked right out.
Oh, come on,
and,
dude.
And this was at an establishment where you're touching things.
That's
disgusting.
So, good luck with that general cleanliness.
If you don't wash your, come on.
Because one guy who's not generally cleanly.
Yeah.
You know.
Ugh.
Come on now.
Gross. But anyway, for you single people out there, get ready for the whoring 20s. A lot of experts expect a slutty summer ahead because people have been, you know, basically stuck at home for the last year and things are returning to normal. There's been an uptick in New York City restaurant and bars of basically just letting it all go. A lot of bathroom hookups are being reported by bar owners and restaurateurs up there. And you know, these experts that have gone back and studied post-pandemic culture expect the whoring 20s here ahead of us. So if you're single out there, get ready.
Let me ask you something. Totally off the cuff.
Sure. Pretty cool for the single people.
You're married, have been for a while.
Yeah. I think we're together 16 years now or
Congratulations.
Something. Long time.
How she
hasn't gotten sick of me is beyond me.
What would have to be the level of quality bathroom at a public place to do that?
If I was young and dumb and hashtag horny,
yeah.
I don't think I would have any real cares.
No problem.
I mean, I wouldn't want like puddles on the floor, but you know, I wouldn't. You know, I'm not exactly Rico Suave, so I'm not one to pick and choose my locations.
Yeah,
you know what
true.
I mean?
That's true.
So I kind of take what I could get. I don't think I would care. As a older person, I would probably care a little bit more. But when I was 24 and drinking 6 Long Island iced teas a night,
yeah.
I don't think I cared. You? Would you care? Don't lie to yourself.
I'll save the story off air.
So tell your buddies out there to get ready for
the
slutty summer ahead of us. In NBA / MLB news, Alex Rodriguez buying the Minnesota Timberwolves and Minnesota Lynx alongside billionaire partner. I'm probably going to get his name wrong.
Okay.
It's spelled Lore, Mark Lore.
Sure.
I don't know what the hell he does.
It's
He's got a lot
right
of money.
Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez, NBA owner. Think he'll be a good one?
What is he going to do?
Probably just be a figurehead. He'll probably, you know, enjoy some of the financial benefits of it.
Can I say something? Who's signing in Minnesota?
They got Anthony Edwards.
No.
Well, if he becomes good enough.
No.
Nobody really.
Who's signing in Minnesota?
Nobody really. You have to draft there.
Exactly. So Alex Rodriguez could have trillions of dollars. Who's signing in Minnesota? There's a reason why Miami.
Yep. Kevin Love bitched about the winners there. He loved it.
Both LA squads, even Boston at times, New York. There's a reason why
Minneapolis is a cool city. It's just winners there are.
When do they play basketball?
Absolutely brutal.
When do they play basketball?
They happen to play in the wintertime, Andrew.
Who's signing in Minnesota? That was my first reaction when I saw the news.
Probably not. Dylan just wrote the note up, which is says, will he try and move them to Seattle? There is talk that Seattle's going to return with an NBA team. And it might not be a, it might be a moved franchise.
Really?
I think Minneapolis is strong enough in support
of
their
the
team.
Like,
that they
know.
Wouldn't.
For me, growing up, Minnesota was all right. Because
it was Garnett and Marbury.
Right. So, obviously, since then, it's been awful. But what other cities would move? Like, OKC just got there, really. I mean, the Hornets have moved 8 times.
Yeah, and Michael's probably got him set.
Yeah,
down
he's
there.
Not going anywhere. I don't know.
OKC, I think, would be the most likely candidate.
But they just got there.
It's been 7-8 years already?
Yeah, but are you going to relocate 7-8 years?
Possibly. Seattle should have never lost a team. That's a great sports city. I absolutely love Seattle.
Well, let me check this for you. All
right, so if A-Rod bought the Sixers, would you be like, cool? Or would you be like, yeah?
I'd be like, what does he know about basketball? here you go. Your NBA, not standings. Damn it!
Come on, man. Do you even know how to internet?
Fans. What's the damn word?
Attendance?
Jesus.
How many beers do you have this weekend?
Oh, so I got a story for you, but we'll get to that. I want you to finish off the... So the worst attendance in 2018-19 was Brooklyn, but they sucked. Phoenix isn't going anywhere. Minnesota, 15,000 a game.
Yeah, so I mean, that's going to come into play. I thought they had a decent enough following because there's not a ton going on out there. It's a good sports town.
Memphis
could be one that moves.
There's nothing else out there, really.
Memphis apparently sucks. I haven't been, but I've heard it sucks.
Yeah, so that would probably be
Interesting that A-Rod is now an NBA owner. A lot of people's new favorite golfer is taking Augusta, Georgia by storm. And I got to admit, once I saw his club, I think I fell in love with the kid. Now, forgive me if I mispronounce his name with a lot of... It's not Zalatoris, it's Zlatoris.
Yeah.
Will Zlatoris has become a fan favorite after the memes going around the internet comparing him to Happy Gilmore's caddy have taken off like wildfire. I believe he is, let me see, currently he's 4 strokes behind Matsuyama, tied for second place with Schauffele, Leishman, and Rosie. I didn't know how to feel about the guy, and then I saw his pitching wedge in his bag. It's a Titleist iron, and it has embroidered on the club, "Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy."
It's an awesome club.
That is phenomenal.
Can I ask you to...
Love the kid now.
By the way, maybe...
Because he does look...
It may be Zalatoris. One of the A's
I thought it was Zalatoris.
One of the A's is silent.
So I think it's Zalatoris.
Okay. Well, can you read the leaderboard again for me?
Matsuyama.
Yeah.
Zalatoris.
Yeah.
Xander Schauffele. Am I mispronouncing Schauffele?
Is it like Schofield or something?
No. It's Xander Schauffele.
Is it Schauffele?
I think.
Souffle?
It's not Souffle. It's Schauffele.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, look, I bastardize names sometimes, but I'm pretty sure it's Xander Schauffele.
I'll take your word for it.
It's not what you just said.
Because you know how much Masters I've watched this weekend?
How much?
About 3 minutes.
Well, one of my final news dumps is the cocktail question of choice I'm about to ask you for the rest of my viewing today. Because I fully intend, I hope Skylar allows me to just watch Masters all day.
Yes.
And my wife loves it,
too. On a rainy Sunday.
Yeah, so it's beautiful. Perfect. But she's going to demand Coco or Ratatouille or Winnie the Pooh. And, you know, sometimes I cave.
Your iPad for those.
We're not getting her into the tablets.
Smart.
Yeah, I don't want her to get addicted to that.
I respect that.
Finally, before we get out of here, before I ask you my all-important cocktail of the day question.
Yes.
Gardner Minshew. Have you seen his new look?
Good for him, man.
Is it? I guess he's going to get some marketing money potentially out of this.
He got a gift from God.
With that mullet?
No. With Nick Foles going down. Him playing well for two games. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to be a backup for life and make millions of dollars. Or he'll be the spot starter for a year before a new quarterback comes in.
I got to give
gonna
him
He's
going
to make so much money.
I don't like the whole, you know, like, I think because now he's leaning into it and going a little overboard.
Who cares?
And, you know, if he's got a chance to make some money, that's great. I got to give him this, though. It's one of the most majestic mullets I've ever seen in my life.
Beautiful mullet.
He cut the, like, lightning bolts into the side.
He'd be perfect for the 93 fills, man.
It's an interesting look.
Whatever. Good for
him. Sure.
It is. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
He's going to make millions of dollars, and if he heard you talking about this, he'd laugh.
Yeah, he would.
And throw you $10.
I feel like he'd be a cool guy to get a beer with.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Final question for the weekend news dump. Do I drink transfusions today? Because I haven't drank at all this weekend, so I feel like I've earned myself some Sunday cocktails.
Yes, you have.
Do I drink a transfusion, which is the official drink, unofficial drink of golf? It's ginger ale, lime juice, grape juice, vodka.
There's an unofficial drink
of it's like golf. The cocktail of choice for most courses. Like, a lot of country clubs will have transfusions on draft. Yeah, because it's a refreshing, somewhat not dehydrating drink that you can drink in the sun. They go down smooth. You've never heard of this?
Literally never heard of this.
Oh, a lot of country clubs have transfusions on draft.
Okay.
Because it's that... I mean, if you ask a cart girl and she doesn't know what a transfusion is, she's not doing her job right.
Okay.
So that's one. Or do I drink the Azalea, the unofficial drink of the Masters, which is vodka, grapefruit juice, and a splash of grenadine?
Do you have everything at home?
No, I have to make a grocery store trip.
So you'd rather just shop for one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to mix and match.
Both are vodka, so you could.
Well,
go.
My wife does love grapefruit, so I could buy a couple grapefruits just to have. I could do both. It wouldn't that be that bad.
Yeah, do both.
You think I mix and match?
Yeah. Dude, you didn't drink this weekend. That's shocking.
Well, I. Not that I didn't drink. I just didn't drink a lot. I had some beers yesterday.
So I went golfing yesterday with my neighbor from my old place in Manio and then two of his work buddies. And they listen to the station. It's awesome.
Nice.
So the one guy asks me, can I ask you something? Like, I'm pretty open about my life.
Sure.
I go, yeah, what's up? He goes, do you ever get nervous, like, when you wake up hungover and you have a shift that day? And I go, you mean like tomorrow? You mean like yesterday's shift? Nah, I got it.
I just, when I do find myself in those situations, I just try to make thorough notes before I start drinking. And so I don't wake up with like a cloudy head going.
But he was like hesitant to ask. I was like, tune in tomorrow at 9 o'clock, my man.
That's all you got? I thought you were going to ask worse than that.
And you'll find out. 610-6.
Right, thanks for swaying me. I think I'm going to have both cocktails today.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I'm going to live my life, Andrew. Thanks.
By the way, Cody makes a good point. A-Rod did play in Seattle.
That is true.
Probably knows the
area. You ready, Mr. Seamhead? I saw a Griffey Jr., A-Rod, Randy Johnson, Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez Mariners game in the Kingdom out
there.
That's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
That's really cool. Jay Buhner. He's huge.
Every time I hear Jay Buhner, I think of Frank Costanza. Why didn't you re-sign Buhner? He had 25 home runs last year.
Oh, that's great. 610-632-0975. Final hour ahead. Dom, Bill, you guys hang tight. The Eagles conversation we'll get back to as well. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Staying until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.